Yes, sir. Before we get started, what is your name, sir?
Brian Goble.
Okay, now you just hang on for one moment. The Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson is going to serve as the lead. He's going to conduct your hearing at this time. So just hang on to the phone, sir.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, sir. Could you please state your full name and your ADC number first for the record?
My name is Brian Keith Goble, and my number is 044383.
Okay, Mr. Goble, I'm going to introduce you to the board members that are going to be conducting your hearing this afternoon. Although you can't see us, I'm going to introduce you to them. You have the Honorable Luis Quinones, the Honorable David Mill, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chair, the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse, and my name is Michael Johnson, sir. I'm going to be leading your hearing this morning.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. So I'm going to go with some information with you. If I'm any of the information is incorrect, then you could try to correct me on it, but I'm going to go with some information and then I'll go back over it with you, okay? You are appearing and been certified to come before this board for an absolute discharge or parole to your next consecutive sentence. Is that your understanding, sir?
That's correct.
Okay. Sir, I am looking at your sheet that you're here. You have served an expired term of 25 years for burglary in the first degree, and you are currently serving a 25-year life term for kidnapping. Is that what your understanding is? And also, that goes along with that life sentence, you have four other life sentences that all run concurrent to that. Is that about your understanding of your current sentence that you're on now, sir?
Yes, but nobody died in my case. Did you say murder in the first degree? I think they were attempted murders with charges.
No, I haven't even got, no, you have, right now you're serving an expired sentence for burglary in the first degree, which was a 1 year, 10 days, 10 months, and 15 days. You also had going along with that was a life sentence for aggravated assault.
Okay.
And then that is actually the current sentence that you've already served, and now you're serving a life sentence for kidnapping, which also is running with four other life sentences that you will receive for burglary, kidnapping, and attempt to commit armed robbery.
Yeah, I know I had 11 of them, and they broke them up into three separate groups. Not really sure which goes with which.
Okay, well, you have, yeah. So this sentence that you have right now that you are on is BO1. And with that sentence right there, you have seven concurrent life sentences to actually run together. So basically, to break it down to you, sir, it means that you serve one life sentence, you're going to the parole to your next consecutive sentence, it would take you to another life sentence. Is that about what your understanding is?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You were, what, 24 or 25 years old at the time this incident occurred, sir?
Yes, 24.
Okay. According to your institution's progress report, although you would looking at going to another consecutive life sentence, you have completed multiple self-study programs during your incarceration to include relapse prevention, substance abuse, thinking straight, and you also recently completed a HVAC certificate certification and thinking for a change class. You have been, since you've been in custody, you do have some citations that you received. Looks like the last citation you received was in June of 16th of 18, and that was for possession of a manufacturing. What was that about, sir?
Are you talking about a ticket?
Yes, sir.
That I received?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it was a couple of years back. A buddy of mine wanted to have a drink with me, and we got caught with it. Right. And it was just a couple of bottles of hooch. It was a stupid mistake.
Okay. So what about in October 24th of this year, sir, that they tried to get you to take a UA and you couldn't provide a sample? What was that about?
Yes, I'm getting old. I have prostate problems, and sometimes it's hard for me to provide it within the 2 hours. I kind of have a bashful bladder, so sometimes that happens. Mm-hmm. But I did get it dismissed because of that.
Okay. So with the hoops that you guys were drinking, did you make that, or was it a couple of times in the last, looks like maybe a couple few years that you received a ticket for that?
Oh, did we make it? Is that what you asked?
Yes, sir.
Yes, we did.
Okay. You've actually been before this parole board, sir. In 1989, you were before the parole board. You were paroled to your next consecutive sentence. You had a special parole hearing in 1995. It was not recommended to the governor. And then you have had five or six hearings since that time for absolute discharge of parole to your next consecutive sentence. During this time, all of those were denied. Is that right?
Sounds about right, yes.
So, sir, what you were currently in custody for is the incident that occurred back on December 23rd in 1987, when you pulled a gun on a McDonald's employee while he was leaving work. You abducted him at gunpoint, took him back inside of the store, tried to get him to held him there, tried to get him to the safe. This restaurant was over there at 926 East Indian School Road. Phoenix police had came and surrounded the building. You then grabbed the victim and shielded yourself from the police by holding the victim in front of you. You crossed over to Indian School Road. Officers approached you. You fired a couple of rounds and shot one officer in the chest, and then fired at another officer. Then you actually carjacked a vehicle and got into a police pursuit, and subsequently you were crashed the car and you were arrested. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. It's hard to believe that I did all that. I was crazy. I was a young, stupid kid. I was scared, just trying to get away.
So what was going on? What caused you to, and why did you pick that McDonald's? So what was going on with you during that period of time?
Oh, why did I pick it?
Yeah, what was going on with you at that time that you picked that McDonald's, and what caused you to commit this crime?
I just needed some money, and you know, I'd had a problem. I was doing drugs back then, and I was just young and stupid. Made a huge mistake on drugs that ruined my life. And the last 31 years, I've been kicking myself in the butt about it. And I am remorseful about it. About 15 years ago, I wrote an apology letter to the officer and mailed it to the clerk of the court and asked him to forward it to him. I gave him the information I had on him. And I do feel bad about it. I was raised in a Christian home, and I am a Christian, and there's no excuse for it. I just, when I was 14 years old, I was in school. I had great grades all the time. I was a jock. I was always in sports. And my last year of Pop Warner football, another kid speared me in my lower back with his helmet, and it knocked a disc 40% out of place, and I had to have surgery, have some disc fused together. And for the next 6 months, I was homeschooled, and one day I was home alone, and a school that I was going to, High School Air Cortez High, came over to check on me, see how I was doing. And he pulls out a joint and asks me if I wanted to smoke it. And that was the biggest mistake I ever made in my life. I did that, and it's been all downhill ever since.
What kind of drugs were you on at the time that this incident, when you got involved in this robbery?
At that time, I had done some meth. And I'm sure you all know that that's not good stuff, and I certainly wasn't thinking clearly.
Were you doing any drugs since you've been in prison, sir?
Have I done any since I've been in? Is that what you asked?
Yes, sir. I see back in the early years that you had a drug possession.
I did in my earlier years. Some, yes, I did.
And what were you doing while you were in prison?
While I've been in?
Yes.
Yes, I did for a while. I don't anymore. It's my family, my mom and dad, come and see me, and they're getting old. They're in their mid to late 70s, and I can't afford to lose my visits over that nonsense. I don't know how many visits I have left with them. And like I said, that stuff ruined my life. I'm fed up with it. I don't want any more to do with it.
So what made you shoot the police officer and shoot at another police officer? Were they in uniform?
Can you repeat that, please? I didn't hear you.
What made you shoot at the police officers? Were they in uniform?
Yes, they were in uniform, and there was three of them, and they had surrounded me. They had their guns out, and I thought they were going to shoot me, and I was scared. And I was trying to just fire off a round or two to scare them and back them off, and I hit one of them, and I was as surprised as they were. I was not in any way trying to kill any one of them. Mm-hmm. That wasn't even a thought in my mind. I was just trying to get away, and I'm very sorry that I did that. That was very wrong, very stupid, and I wish I could take it back.
So what is it that has changed about you since that time? You've been incarcerated for how many years?
31.
For 31 years. What is it that has changed about you? I see that you have taken some program, but explain to this board what has changed about you and why you should be paroled to your next consecutive sentence.
You want me to do what now?
Explain to me what has changed and why you feel this board should parole you to your next consecutive sentence.
Well, as I said, I've done 31 years. And in that 31 years, I don't have a single ticket for any kind of violence, not a fighting ticket, not a weapons ticket. I've been on three different yards where riots popped off. I didn't get involved in any of that. Didn't receive any tickets for that. And I try to stay out of trouble. And it's been, like I said, 6 years over the 25 years. And I am going to a consecutive life, and I know that there's a when I was going to trial, the prosecution wanted to try me on everything all at once, and in that motion they said it was all one continuous act from beginning to end. Same time, same occasion, same motive, all of that. And the judge agreed and allowed them to try me on everything all at once. And then after I was found guilty, they filed a motion in support of consecutive sentencing, and said the complete opposite. They said it's all separate and distinct acts, different times, different victims, different occasions. And, you know, I don't think that was right. Everything, I feel like, should have been run concurrent. I don't see how they could do a 180-degree turn and, you know, have it their way. At the beginning, it's all one thing, and then at the end, turn around and say, now it's all separate and distinct, and run things consecutive. And
what they ran is, so they ran them all, they ran them consecutive, but the way that it's set up is that they're consecutive to each other.
And so, yes.
You know,
yes.
So you actually, although you have about 11 life sentences, they're running, really the way they're running consecutive to each other is only about 3 life sentences, the way that they have it set up.
Right, so, right,
you
know, yeah.
You have several of them running concurrent to each other, but they all bounce back to one. So, was there a reason why you picked that particular McDonald's, or you waited outside for that kid to get off work, or what happened?
Did you I was just driving by, and I saw the lights go out, the sign out front.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I thought, well, I can stop there and catch them as they're coming out, and then make them go back in and open up the safe. It was not my intention to hurt any one of them, and I wouldn't have. And the only reason that happened with the officers is I was scared to death. You know, I was high on drugs, and I'm sorry it ever happened. I can't believe I did it. It was ridiculous.
So what other type of programs have you taken since you've been incarcerated, sir?
Well, back in the 90s, they had a program available where you could take college courses and get a college degree.
Mm-hmm.
And I took several of those classes, and I was halfway to getting my degree, and then they quit doing it. They quit allowing us to get a degree. So I did take several college courses and passed them all. I had a 3.2 grade point average, something like that. I was on the dean's list, and I took HVAC and passed that, certified. I've always had a job, and my evaluations are always excellent. Taken a lot of the self-help classes, you know, that become available, like on, that have to do with drugs, alcohol, things like that.
All right, so let me see if the board has any additional questions for you. So seeing no additional questions coming from the board, you're going to be coming up on the conclusion of your hearing. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the board prior to the board going into discussion, sir?
I would just like to say that I'm very sorry for what I did. There's no excuse for it, and I apologize and throw myself on the mercy of the board there, and I hope that they'll move me on to my next sentence.
Okay. So I have one more question for you. Is there any reason, you say that your parents come and visit you, but is there any reason that we don't have any letters or any support from you, from your family here, family or friends?
You know, if I wanted to, I could have done that, but I wasn't asked anything about if I wanted to do that or how to do that. My mom and my dad and my brother would be more than happy to speak to you,
mm-hmm.
and they would support me if I got out. I could live with any one of them.
Mm-hmm.
and they're fairly well off. My brother lives in Gold Canyon there in the Superstition Mountains. My dad lives in Dobson Ranch. My mom lives in Gilbert, and they all love me. They all still come to see me on food visits and support me, send me money if I need it, and I just never asked them to write the letters or anything. I thought, well, if I'm just going to a consecutive 25 to life, I didn't want to burden them with getting involved with it. That basically was my thought, you know. But I do have that out there.
So at the time that you were involved in this incident, what were you on probation for? So, because you do have a juvenile criminal history, what were you on probation for?
I believe the charge that I pled out on was solicitation to commit burglary.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not mistaken, I think that's what we pled it down to.
Okay. Was it originally a robbery charge?
No, it wasn't a robbery. It was
okay. So we're going to come up on a go into discussion. While the board's in discussion, we'll make a determination whether to grant you parole to your next consecutive sentence or whether to deny it. I will ask you to remain on the phone so that you can hear the discussion taking place, sir, but remain silent while the board's in discussion, okay?
Thank you, sir, and I appreciate your time and consideration on all of this.
All right, well, stay on the phone, sir. Don't hang up.
Okay.
All right, the board's now going into discussion. Mr. Goble was down 31 years in prison. He doesn't have a lot of programming that I could see that he actually took. It's an incident that occurred when he was 24 years old. McDonald's, he took the kid in there, robbed him, shot at a couple of police officers, did shoot, and wounded one police officer, strike him in the chest with a 25 caliber. And he does have several citations that he's, I mean, that he tickets that he received since he's been in prison, which were for a lot of them for disobeying and either possession or failing to refusal for testing. So I think that he says that he does have family support out here, that his parents, his brother, and his dad, they still visit him and work with him, but there's really no indication in the report that he has any family support. If he was paroled to his next consecutive sentence, he would go to a 25-year sentence that he would actually go to, and then I think, he's trying to make sure on all these sentences. Yes, he would go to his next sentence would be a 25 to life sentence. That would be, I think, it would be about his last sentence that he would actually be served on. He did have a total of, looks like about 11 life sentences. They were made to run concurrent. If they were all running consecutive, then he would be facing a lot more time in jail. But I would like to see Mr. Global do a little bit more programming and get some family and friend support before I would be supportive of him being paroled to his next consecutive sentence, which would be a 25-year sentence, and that's my opinion. However, I'm willing to listen to the rest of my colleagues. Ms. Rittenhouse.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Mr. Global certainly sounds like a very calm individual to me now. He indicated he has nonviolent, really a nonviolent term. But I agree with you. I think it would be good to have even letters from the family, or, you know, you should understand they can participate by phone. So they don't even have to leave their house. They could participate in these hearings by telephone. But it would be good to know that he has that support. I mean, I believe him, but it would be nice to hear from them as well. So I agree with you. I would also like to see a little bit more programming, but he has taken some, and I appreciate that. Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Dale.
Well, on the issue of programming, from what I've seen with this type of life sentences, he's not awful a lot.
Right.
That's and very hard to get him to a lot of classes if you've got that much time ahead of you. So, you know, I don't want to slam him for, at this point in time, lack of programming. The support issues, I think, would be a little bit more pressing. I don't want to say relevant, but pressing or a little bit more important if we were looking at a situation where it might be released at this time. But then, you know, this is a consecutive 2-4 life sentences, and it would be, truthfully, by the time he does his 25 years, if we throw in his next consecutive sentence at this time, I would say that there's a strong possibility that he could be released someday. If for a year that gets pushed away, there's nothing less chance that he would ever have an opportunity to even be considered for a release before he passed away. So I just, from a compassionate point of view, when I agree with you, he sounds very calm and way beyond those violent days and everything else like that. And it's to give a person a little bit of hope, I would be in favor of pulling the next consecutive sentence. Thank you.
Mr. Canales.
I'm riding the fence a bit. Oh, pardon me. I'm riding the fence a bit because I actually agree with both of you. I want to see that support from his family, but there's a very pragmatic part of me that recognizes that moving him on to his next consecutive sentence is a shot at moving the ball along, so to speak. So I mean, it's kind of wishy-washy, but I actually kind of agree with both of you, and I'm not quite so sure. Thank you.
Mr. Johnson, I just, I'm on the fence as well, but I think that I would, and I know that that's a judgment call, but I would like to at least have something from a family, from the family. I think that, you know, phone call, letter, or something, wouldn't be necessary for him to come unless he just wanted to, but I think that would at least send a message to him and to the board and to the citizens of Arizona. Hey, well, he does have some support out there. Either way, you know, I mean, he's going to be quite old when he's released. I always like to be optimistic when he's released, but I don't think another hearing or two would make that much difference. Therefore, I would really want to hear something from a supporter. One of the more supporters of his family, to be exact.
I think it is kind of important, at least for me, to hear from some of the family, because what it does for me, it will help me clear that he sounds very calm, that he's doing good, but the family won't be able to sustain it. He says he has contact with all his family, that they visit him, they go see him, that they could shed some light on, at least give some more opinion on the changes that he made. So I'm going to make a motion to, at this time right now, I'm going to make a motion to deny Mr. Goebel parole to his next consecutive sentence or an absolute discharge. That would be my motion. I'm also going to do I'm not going to ask for a 1-year set off. I'm going to wait for 6 months and he'll have an opportunity to come back here and see it. So that would be my motion.
Second.
Agreed.
Agreed.
By myself, second by Ms. Rittenhouse, agreed. Mr. Quinones, Mr. Miller, Dr. Wright, is denied for a home arrest or absolute, I mean, parole to his next consecutive sentence or an absolute discharge. Mark the reasons for denial, that it's a serious and violent offense, trauma to the victim, the officers were shot, age of the victim, as the one kid who was kidnapped was in his teens, there was seriously bodily injury, multiple victims. He was on probation at the time that he committed this crime. He had a history of substance abuse, prior criminal history, that he's a repeat offender. Possibly he has had some discipline actions which I'm going to also mark poor, no release plan, and no family and community support. Is there anything else the board thought that should be added to it or taken away? Okay. All right, Mr. Goble?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you heard the conversation taking place amongst the board, and you know, we made a motion to deny you parole to your next consecutive sentence or an absolute discharge. We didn't ask for a one-year set-off, sir, so you will be eligible to come back before this board within 6 months, sir. Do you have any questions?
So you want me to provide what, letters from my family or phone calls, or what is it you're looking
sir,
for?
You have the option. I can't tell you that, you know, that would, you know, make the board go one way or the other way, sir. Things happen in between that time. But certainly your family has the option that they could write a letter into the board. They could appear here and at the board when we have your hearing here at our office right here on 17th Avenue and Jefferson by the Capitol. Or they could give the phone numbers right in and request to be called, and we can call them up and they can participate in the hearing via telephone.
Okay, well, I'm sure that they would be willing to do that if I asked them.
Well, work with your CO3, sir, and see. That's going to conclude your hearing at this time, Mr. Goble. I do want to thank you for taking the time and opportunity for appearing before this board, sir.
Thank you, too, and I guess I'll see you guys in 6 months.
Yes,
sir. Sure.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. And please take the CO3 back on, sir.
Okay. Here you go.